This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A high-level signal about women and leadership. I'm David Brancaccio. When he chose Kamala Harris to be his running mate back in August, Joe Biden said he asked her to always be the last voice in the room, a wise, candid voice on decisions. Biden often did that as vice president under Barack Obama. Now that Biden has already set up his task force to address the pandemic, there was a key signal on the leadership of the vice president-elect, Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino reports.
The election of the first woman and woman of color as vice president is more than a symbolic breakthrough, says Bonita Stewart, an executive at Google who wrote a book about women of color and power.
We know that when women are in leadership, whether it's in the C-suite, whether it's in the boardroom, it changes the dynamics in a very positive way.
Stewart sees clues in the earliest moves by the Biden transition team that Vice President-elect Harris's influence could be substantial. Biden has named a Black woman, Marcella Nunez Smith, as one of three co-chairs of the new coronavirus task force and promised to focus on equitable distribution of an eventual vaccine. Rachel Hardiman, a professor of public health at the University of Minnesota, says leadership by someone who understands racial inequity is important.
But I think even more powerful are people who are closest to that pain, who really understand that lived experience.
Communities of color have seen the highest rates of infection and death from COVID-19. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
Now to a second day follow, as we call it, of the news that human testing indicates Pfizer and BioNTech's coronavirus vaccine is very effective. Other companies have their vaccine candidates, but there are other vast challenges if and when vaccines are approved, getting them distributed and getting people to accept them. A recent poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation and ESPN's The Undefeated found that nearly half of Black adults said they would not take a coronavirus vaccine, even if scientists recommend it. Sam Whitehead from WABE in Atlanta has our report.
Dr. Valeria Contos is recruiting people from the Latinx community to test a COVID-19 vaccine by drug maker Moderna at Emory University in Atlanta. There are some questions she gets a lot.
You're not going to share this information with immigration, are you? Or can I still participate if I don't have a social security number, implying that they may be undocumented?
Contos, who's Latina, explains privacy rules protect research participants, regardless of immigration status. Contos works at one of 100 research sites around the country testing Moderna's vaccine.
Our goal is to have a vaccine that has been tested in the population that is the most vulnerable to becoming infected with COVID.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says Black, Latinx, and Native American people are more likely to be hospitalized and die from coronavirus infection. Emory's research budget has specific funds dedicated to reaching out to Black and Latinx communities. And it's paid off. Most of the participants at the research site run by Dr. Colleen Kelly are from those groups.
If we have a very homogenous white population involved in our clinical trials, that creates a lot of uncertainty, but also mistrust around the results and how they might apply to Black and Latinx populations.
That mistrust has been built over centuries from when slavery started in the colonies that became the U.S., says Dr. James Hildreth, president of the historically Black Meharry Medical College in Nashville.
The truth is, going all the way back to 1619, there's a history of atrocities being visited upon Black bodies in the service of medical research.
Hildreth is trying to broadcast his trust in research by publicly participating in a COVID-19 vaccine trial. He says people need to have faith in the vaccines to get them if they become widely available. Because vaccines don't save lives, vaccinations do. In Atlanta, I'm Sam Whitehead for Marketplace.
This is part of Fast Track, Marketplace's ongoing coverage of what's shaping up to be the greatest logistics operation in human history, getting COVID vaccines to people. Stock markets are mixed this morning. The Dow future is up 240 points, 0.8%, but the NASDAQ future is down 1.9%. The Supreme Court today hears arguments in a case that will decide the fate of the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer's on the line. What's the estimate on how many people could maybe lose health insurance depending on how the high court rules next year?
Well, about 20 million people got insurance through the Affordable Care Act when it was first rolled out. That number is likely higher now. If the law were invalidated, all those people would suddenly be uninsured.
And for people with pre-existing conditions?
They would have a lot fewer protections from discrimination. Larry Levitt, who's executive vice president of the Kaiser Family Foundation, told me people would have a very hard time buying insurance for themselves, dealing directly with an insurance company if they had a pre-existing condition.
These are things like cancer, diabetes, obesity, even pregnancy. So without the Affordable Care Act, anyone trying to buy their own insurance with a pre-existing condition would likely be denied.
Now, Nancy, this could also affect people who don't get insurance through Obamacare, but through their jobs?
Yeah, if they have a pre-existing condition, their premiums could go up. COVID-19 could be considered a pre-existing condition. Also, insurers could go back to putting caps on how much they would pay out in a given year or over your lifetime.
And preventive care, free flu shots and such, the health law that could be overturned or not, made insurance companies pay for those. Would no fees for preventive care continue if the law went away?
Not necessarily. Levitt says Congress would have to pass new legislation, for example, making any COVID vaccine free.
A lot at stake at the Supreme Court. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer, thank you very much. So the stock market in the end closed quite mixed, with the NASDAQ way down and the Dow way up. The mixed is continuing this morning. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. We're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.